Senator Frederick Wallace of South Carolina rose at dawn from the bed in the lakeside cabin that he had shared with his African-American lover for more than 20 years. He went into the bathroom and relieved himself noisily. His lover, Elizabeth Johnson, liked to sleep later than he. Freddie and Elizabeth had produced 2 sons early in their relationship, both of whom were enrolled in Ivy League universities. Freddie's wife, Betty Ann, disliked coming back to Chester, their putative home, preferring the social life and shopping of Washington, D.C., which made it easy for Freddie to make weekend trips back to South Carolina, ostensibly for constituent services. He did a bit of that, of course, but mostly he and Elizabeth did each other. It was the only completely satisfying sexual relationship of his entire life, and he cherished it above everything else in his existence, except his status as a conservative Republican U.S. senator. Since he was a politician, the hypocrisy of his position weighed lightly upon him. Once, a couple of years before, someone had found out and had tried to expose the relationship, but Freddie had, by a previous plan with Elizabeth, denied everything and fought the rumor to a standstill. He had been unable to see her for 3 months, and that had hurt him badly. Ted, who had been sitting in the trees for more than an hour before first light, caught sight of the senator through the leaves. As he apparently relieved, then weighed himself in the bathroom. He didn't like the sight line, too many branches in the way, so he bided his time. Freddie Wallace tied his robe around him and walked into the kitchen. Since Elizabeth slept later, he always made his own breakfast. First, though, he attended to a little ritual that had been suggested to him by Harry Truman, a president whom he would not admit admiring. He went to a kitchen cupboard and removed a bottle containing an amber liquid with a hand-printed label. It was a private batch bourbon, 100 proof, that an old friend kept him supplied with, as many old friends kept Freddie supplied with many things, from suits to Cadillacs. He at once, in a reflective moment, calculated that if the value of all the gifts he received each year was made known to the Internal Revenue Service, the resulting income tax would exceed his income as a U.S. senator. Ted had him in the kitchen now, and the line was good. He moved the tripod a couple of feet to his left and sat down, cross-legged, behind it, tightening the mount adjustment and bringing the barrel to bear on the kitchen window. He had, on a previous visit, measured the distance from his present position to the center of the house, which came to 304 yards, give or take, and he had already sighted in the weapon for that distance. The appearance of the rifle which he had made himself would have puzzled even an experienced shooter, since the weapon was bereft of any material that did not contribute to its accuracy, no walnut stock, just an aluminum rod. No trigger guard, no visible bolt. The long, fat flash suppressor and silencer would have seemed totally out of place. Only the large, light-gathering, telescopic sight would be familiar. Ted loaded a single 22-caliber long rifle cartridge into the chamber and closed it, then took his first sight through the scope. Freddie Wallace poured himself a jigger of the superb bourbon, then recorked the bottle and put it away. He tossed down the 1.5 ounces of spirits, waiting for it to hit bottom before he moved. The target stood absolutely still for just a moment, and Ted almost casually squeezed off the round. The only sounds were the fft of the firing and the tinkle of window glass as the copper-jacketed round passed through it. Had he been inside the room, he would have heard a noise like a slap across the face as the bullet struck the senator's left temple, then the sound of his body collapsing like a sack of oranges onto the kitchen floor. Elizabeth Johnson was turning over in her sleep when she heard the noise. It was the one she had heard only once before, but she had imagined it many times, the sound of a male body hitting the floor. Given the state of Frederick Wallace's health, she had been expecting it. She got out of bed, picked up her robe, and walked toward the kitchen with some trepidation. "Freddie," she called, but there was no answer. She continued into the kitchen and saw him lying there. It was not until she came near the body that she saw the hole in the temple and the blood and gore that the exiting bullet had taken with it. "Oh, shit, Freddy," she said. Then she ducked down below window level and checked his pulse. There was none.